Turning now to some news from the world of sports. And let's agree that as amazing and historic as the best ever start in Boston Red Sox franchise history has been, the pace it set was not sustainable. And so it was that the Red Sox suffered their second loss in a row and dropped their first series of the year with a 4-1 defeat in Oakland against the A's yesterday afternoon. But it was just one bad pitch that led to that loss. And as good as new manager Alex Cora has been thus far, and he has been very good, the decision to leave lefty David Price in to face Oakland right-handed slugger Chris Davis with two outs and two on in the bottom of the eighth inning in a 1-1 game was probably not the right one. Price had been excellent, scattering eight hits over 7 2/3, but he was showing signs of tiring, and righty reliever Carson Smith was ready in the bullpen. And after Price struck out Jed Lowry, Cora probably should have lifted him in favor of Carson and the better righty-on-righty matchup. Instead, Davis swung at Price's very first offering and planted it firmly into the left field seats for a 3-run homer and Boston's first back-to-back losses of the year, a stretch that included being no-hit by Sean Manea on Saturday. Still at 17-4, the Red Sox have the best record in the majors, and they'll try to get back on the winning side of the ledger when they take on the Blue Jays in Toronto tomorrow, with Rick Porcello looking to improve on his fantastic 4-0 start to the season. Now, those Blue Jays fell to the New York Yankees 5-1 at the stadium yesterday, flummoxed by Luis Severino, gave up just three hits over seven innings to get the win. Didi Gregorius homered for the Yankees, and rookie Miguel Andujar had a career-high four hits in the victory, which featured the debut of another promising rookie, infielder Gleyber Torres, who went 0-for-4 in his first big game in the bigs. The New York Mets were hoping to improve on their impressive 14-6 start to the year, but persistent rain in Atlanta postponed that effort. One other baseball note, the longest at-bat in Major League history was recorded yesterday after an incredible duel between San Francisco Giants first baseman Brandon Belt and LA Angels pitcher Jamie Barria, who threw 21 pitches to Belt before getting him to line out to right field. Belt fouled off 16 of those pitches, including 11 in a row during his plate appearance, which earned an ovation from both benches after it was over. Consider that 21 pitches is a lot for a pitcher to throw in one inning, and Barria had to throw those 21 pitches to just one batter in that historic instance, now officially the longest at-bat in Major League history. And while baseball is just getting started, playoffs abound in other sports this time of year, and the first round of the NHL postseason is not disappointing for drama. There was plenty of that in yesterday's series-clinching 8-5 win by the Pittsburgh Penguins over the Philadelphia Flyers, a game that was a nail-biter despite that final score. And the Flyers have no one but themselves, and perhaps the refs, to blame for their exit. They took a 4-2 lead late into the second period, and it looked like they were going to force a Game 7. But the Penguins scored too late in the frame to tie it up. Then, less than 30 seconds to the start of the third period, they let a defensive miscue lead to a steal inside the blue line by Phil Kessel, who made a beautiful pass to Jake Guentzel. He put in the go-ahead and eventual game winner, one of his four goals on the afternoon that he scored to secure the series for Pittsburgh. Now, I mentioned the refs because maybe the worst non-call I've ever seen was made later in the third when the game was still close, 5-4 to Pittsburgh. The Flyers had just come off a failed 5-on-3 power play when Penguin Chris Letang flat-out upended a Flyer deep in Philly's zone, a trip so blatant that everyone froze for a split second waiting for a whistle that never came. The puck went to Guentzel instead, who blasted home a slapper to give the Pens a two-goal cushion they would not give back. Had Philly not just come off a power play, I guarantee you the trip by Letang would have been called. It should have been called, but ultimately the Flyers really have to look in the mirror and ask why they could not hold a two-goal lead in a game they had to have to keep their season going. The other contest yesterday, not nearly as close. The Nashville Predators routed the Colorado Avalanche 5-0 in Colorado to close out that series 4-2. In the NBA, the youthful Boston Celtics are learning on the fly how tough the playoffs can be. After taking the first two games of their series against the Milwaukee Bucks at home, they're now even with Milwaukee after losing two on the road, including a hard-fought 104-102 loss yesterday. The Celtics are showing how good they are now, but really it's a window into how much better they're going to be next year. With a healthy Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward available, both those veteran stars are out with injury now, so it's falling on the shoulders of the kids like Jaylen Brown, who poured in 34 yesterday, and Jason Tatum, who had 21, to keep Boston battling. And they did yesterday, clipping away and chipping away at a 20-point deficit to tie the game. They even took the lead late in the fourth quarter, But in the end, it was Milwaukee superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo who gave the Bucks the win when he tipped in a rebound of a shot with just 5 seconds left for the two-point margin of victory. The series now shifts back to Boston for Game 5, tied up at 2 apiece. Cleveland Cavaliers pulled out a 104-100 win over the Pacers in Indiana. They're tied up at 2. Same deal for the Washington Wizards, 2-2 now with the Toronto Raptors after a 106-98 win. John Wall scored or assisted on 10 of Washington's last 14 points. The San Antonio Spurs still kicking, staving off a sweep at the hands of the Golden State Warriors by leaning on 40-year-old veteran Manu Ginobili. He scored 10 of his 16 in the fourth quarter. Spurs win 103-90.